The Social Security Administration is assembling a crack team of disability examiners. They're going to use big data as one tool to spot fraud and, they hope, prevent it. Based in Jamaica, the team is – Jamaica, New York, that is – the team is currently reviewing disability medical decisions in two cases, one in New York, the other in Puerto Rico. Bea Dissman is the New York Regional Commissioner for Social Security. She joins us now with details. Bea, good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to have you back. They give you the tough jobs, it seems like.
Well, that's the experience and my dedication to public service.
All right, so tell us about this specialized unit. And how is it going to work? And is it only in response to these this story about the former cops and so forth that have plagued disability, or is it larger than that?
Well, no, it really goes back a little in history. Over the last 4 to 5 years, we have established in a number of processing centers experts that are trained to do medical determinations. We've actually done that because the increase in disability applications that we were receiving around the country. So I had available a group of people that are specialized and experts, and they actually had been working cases from Puerto Rico to help make the medical determination. And they were a group of people that also identified some patterns and referred them to our Office of the Inspector General. So in their normal day-to-day processes, they became aware of what was occurring within Puerto Rico and actually helped our Office of Inspector General in doing the analysis which brought the case. Having said that, they were the group of people that I asked to re-review all the cases that involved, and I think if you remember, Puerto Rico involved doctors and a non-attorney rep. So we had to identify all of those cases for us to re-review and reopen to see if we needed to eliminate fraudulent medical evidence. So as a result, I had a ready-made team that were identifying patterns, that were reporting it. And so when SSA started to look at analytics, it really became natural to put the team together who experienced all this, talking to the developers to see if they can come up with the same patterns that my people were manually doing on the ground.
All right. So what is it that goes into a fraudulent claim? Do people fake their problems? Or, I mean, how do you come up with the fact that someone did fake it or give you false information?
Well, let me just say I'm not going to go into a number of details because we don't want to disclose patterns because I don't want the criminals out there, you know, changing and understanding what we're doing. But let me just say it really involved fabricated medical evidence. It involved exaggerated symptoms and involved things that you question credibility.
So, like, for example, I guess a common thing is lower back pain for people trying to get OxyContin. The same type of activity happens for people trying to get Social Security disability?
Well, I
not that particular one, but that kind of process.
But it's, you know, you hear about it in the media. I mean, this was a true, those two cases that you mentioned, New York and Puerto Rico, were true complex criminal conspiracies where people were coached. Evidence was fabricated, histories were developed, and so as you're reviewing, if you have a specialized unit of people that are actually reviewing the decisions, they pick up these patterns. And so what we want to do now, as opposed to the people picking them up, is to automatically, through our system, identify those patterns. And that's why it's important to have a group of people who have the expertise and the experience.
So this is almost a big data analytics type of process that you're applying here.
Oh, absolutely. And as a matter of fact, we, in evolving the investigation and working with the Inspector General, wound up using our system staff, you know, to get various data elements for us. And then you actually did it, but we didn't have the sophisticated analytics that the agency is now developing.
Now, this office is going to be in Jamaica, Queens, which means you personally probably have to cross the river to get there. Is there any significance to having it in Jamaica?
Well, that's where I have my processing center. We actually have a building that we actually manage and is delegated. And in that building are people that do the back-end processing, that do disability. I have a Social Security field office there, a Social Security card center. So that actually is one of these centers that we have that functions to do many SSA functions.
Okay, I thought maybe they were going to be in some old warehouse in a hidden bunker or something reaching out, but people see them coming and going to work every day.
Well, they and there's about 1,500 SSA employees in the building, so they're among the group. And we also have, next to this unit, agents from the Office of the Inspector General. So what we're able to do is the dialogue, because they're our investigative arm. We don't do the investigations. They have to be turned over to them. So, again, the ability to dialogue, to discuss what you're seeing, and then for our Office of the Inspector General to be able to have the discussions with the appropriate U.S. attorneys, you know, as they evolve, is really important.
We're speaking with Bea Dissman. She's New York Regional Commissioner for the Social Security Administration. And also, there have been some reports of Social Security disability judges, some of which seem to appear to be rubber stamps and pass all of their claims. Is some of the pattern matching and analytics going to be applied to judges also?
Well, the analytics will be for the entire disability process. So it will take it from your first decision, and as a matter of fact, you know, on the first decision, you have a reconsideration phase, and then you have a hearing in front of the administrative judge. So you are really identifying through analytics patterns at every level of decision-making.
It must be hard to establish a metric because, just to make an extreme example, if everybody who applied was deserving of disability, then there would be 100% passage. If everybody who applied was not deserving, then there would be 0% ideally. So is there any kind of metric that you're aiming at between 0 and 100% that can tell you that the program's pretty much on track?
Well, let me just say, we accept zero tolerance for fraud, and one case is too much. And in the past, we have not seen the type of complex conspiracies that we had in the New York and Puerto Rico cases. And that's what makes this so significant and different. I think you certainly know that not everyone who applies for disability is even awarded the disability benefits because it is on our regulations and our listings. So you have to take that into account. And then you also have to identify the patterns that may mean something else when you've made the allowance of the decision.
Now, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services has also been trying to learn to use the big data tools. Is there any collaboration with them on analytics as a discipline and programming for that?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, we're working directly with our Office of Systems. Our Office of Systems has spent a lot of time with the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services to go through their techniques and what they have built. And we expect to have collaboration with other federal agencies to experience and to not start from scratch, but to use a lot of the information that they have gleaned.
And besides the analytical portion of this, how much of your awareness as an agency of disability fraud comes in through tips?
Oh, I can just give you an example. When we had the two cases, we set up special 800 numbers, both in Puerto Rico and both in New York, for people to let us know if they've experienced or they see things or information. And it's very interesting. I will say to individuals, be nice to your divorced spouse, be nice to your neighbor, don't be boastful, because you would not believe the tips that we have gotten, you know, after the media releases on these two cases.
Yeah, I remember the case in Boston quite a number of years ago in the state situation where the people they were in court, you know, and they would wear their neck braces, and then when they were videotaped leaving court, they would throw off the neck braces and grab the golf clubs, this kind of thing. So people do tend to get mad when other people are gaming the system, I guess.
Well, especially if they're boastful to their neighbors.
And do we have any idea of the scope of fraud, how much it costs Social Security each year? Do you have any metrics on that?
We do not have any metrics on that. As a result, you know, that we deal with individual cases. We do have from our Office of the Inspector General, and that's in our financial records, but I don't have that available.
All right, and what can happen to people besides simply revocation of the benefit itself?
Well, my hope is that the U.S. attorneys would prosecute the case. In addition to restitution, my hope is for the facilitators involved that they see jail time. You need to say, and for the beneficiaries who are complicit in the fraud, you need to say to people that we will, if you cheat us, we will find you and we will prosecute you and we will also seek our money back. And it's not only the money to the individual that participated in the fraud. You know, a number of these people had benefits for wives and children, and that all goes into the amount that they owe back to the Social Security Administration.
And so what is your timeline? When will you be set up and running, and do you have any metrics and milestones you're looking for in the next year or so?
Well, we are set up. We're officially opened as of March 14th. It was very easy for me to do because I had 31 individuals that are disability examiners that are involved in making medical determinations and in doing the re-review. We took 20 of the experienced people and actually set up this special unit. They have already been having the conversations with our systems people and identifying the types of trends and patterns so that our systems people can have a deliverable within a six-month period so we can start testing it on the information that we know in the unit.
And this sounds like something that you personally would really like to root out.
Absolutely. I can't tell you how incensed I am as a member of the public as looking at what happened in both those two cases. You know, in the New York case, you had trusted professionals, policemen and firemen, that actually feigned being in September 11th. And I have to tell you, the federal building here is very close to the World Trade Center.
Well, that was your cleanup effort also.
Was my cleanup effort also. As you started, I have the neat jobs in Social Security. Having said that, my people were dedicated for that. And so to see people feigning this and using this as an excuse, that hit in each one of our hearts. In seeing professional doctors who swear an oath in Puerto Rico and in non-attorney reps and the attorney in New York, these are people that are supposed to be ethical and hold a higher standard. That really gave all of us pause to really say that, you know, at this point in time, greed takes over and we have to be ever vigilant.
You go get 'em. Bea Dissman is the New York Regional Commissioner for the Social Security Administration. As always, thanks so much for joining us.
Much pleasure.